Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome, and TB is back. What's cracking? I am coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Nice to have you here. We're into hour number two on a Friday. Nice to have you. I had Fred Warner of the 49ers last hour. Excellent interview. We talked about the season he had. We talked about the team and even talked about Jimmy Garoppolo and what he made of the speculation that he may or may not be there. He said, that's our guy. That's our leader. So I thought he was pretty emphatic about that. We hit on that. I opened up the program in case you missed the open by talking about Deshaun Watson and that the Texans could not be handling this any worse than they are right now. As a reminder, they said to him, we want to involve you in the process. We want to involve you in the process of selecting a GM and a coach. Then they go out and they hire a GM and they do not involve him in the process. Not only did they not involve him in the process, he found out about it the same time the rest of us did on social media. So obviously that was not going to go well for Deshaun Watson. He was the good soldier when they unloaded DeAndre Hopkins, didn't say word one. They're a horribly run franchise, and this guy goes out and has an amazing year. But it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and then finally they say they'll consult with him, and they don't. He's had enough. He demands a trade. He also made it very clear that in terms of a new head coach, he was interested in what Eric Bieniemy had to bring to the table. That's a guy that he wanted to play for. The team didn't even want to talk to Bieniemy, so they end up hiring David Culley. Culley waits, and he waits, and he waits, and he finally gets around to having a conversation with Deshaun Watson, at which what point, or shortly thereafter, Watson says, yeah, I'm good. I don't want to be here. So there was the early speculation that it didn't matter who they hired. He still wanted to go. And then they hire a guy, and he still wants to go. In other words, dumb and incompetent. A terrible way to go through life. And that's how they are. They're screwing it up. And they may have burned that bridge completely. We added a guest, so if your dream was to be interviewed by me as a former athlete, today is not your day. It's going to happen at some point. I've done this long enough. One day, we're going to hit a day where a guest falls out, we do not replace that guest, and I will do a Q&A with one of you. Today is not that day. Jim Trotter will be joining me in hour number three. And one more thing happened in hour one that I want to reset. Gavin in Illinois called yesterday and got hammered hard for the way he sounded. And then he came right back, big time bounce back by young Gavin, who took a run at the Boomer Army, and boomers are here for it. So I'm just going to roll some telephone calls. Once again, toll free, 1-800-636-8686. And I've got more reaction. Dear Gavin, put that phone down. Regards, Gavin's Zoom algebra teacher, Geoff and Lincoln. Yeah, I'm actually about it. I like that you got a teenager calling up the program and cracking back on all you old folk. But then again, he does have a good point, right? Gavin, instead of listening to me and taking runs at boomers, should you not be in Zoom school right now, young man? Should you not be in Zoom school? I have a Zoom schooler. I know, it sucks. It's a hard way to learn. But should you not be in Zoom school? It's 10 o'clock Pacific Coast time. Jeff Nocow tweets, hey, Gavin, great call today. See how much you can accomplish by not wasting time with driver's ed. Signed, Logan Rome. It's part of an ATP. Somebody said earlier this week, hey, Rome, who taught your kids to drive? And I said, one still does not know how to drive, even though he's of age, and he has no interest in learning. And again, that makes no sense to me on one level. When I was that age, all any of us cared about was getting our driver's license. I mean, that was priority number one. Get to 15 and a half, get the permit. Get to 16, get the license. I mean, what did that mean? One, driving was cool. Two, it meant freedom. We could bust the hell out and go somewhere. Not Logan Rome. He's good, apparently. He's Logan good having Rome. Either me or his mother chauffeur him around. Like, get a license? What? That means actually learning something else. That means studying something else. The hell would I do that for when I got all of you to taxi me around? Dear Jim, someone dig Iafredi up out of the ground and ask him how Gavin's ass tastes. Signed, Brett and Bugaha. Yeah, I don't think that Iafredi's in the ground. But I know Iafredi, Alvin, is a boomer. he may not be as old as he sounds, but I could see whereby a 16-year-old might say that about Iafredi or somebody else. Hey, Rome, does this mean that Ritt will get airtime to give the official old guy response?
Finally.
That's his airtime. Gavin v. Ritt would be good. Gavin v. Ritt would be good. And then we'd need the song. The Gavin v. Ritt song, too. All right, let's go back to the phones. Go ahead, Albie. I'll take a little bit of that.
Ritt v. Adam Hawk. Ritt v. Adam Hawk. What's the money line? Ritt v. Adam Hawk. No GPA. Work for me some day. Alvin, drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk. Ritt v. Adam Hawk.
Man, that's a bad song. Way to wreck the franchise. All right, let's go to the phones. I've had some success with the phones, and you know me. I'm going to play the hot hand. I'll roll the calls until they're no longer good. Well, having said that, Johnny in Texas. Johnny, there's a lot of pressure on you to keep this thing going. Like, if you make a bad call, I have to stop taking phone calls, and everybody who's on hold isn't going to get through. So keep it going, Johnny. What's up, Johnny? How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good to talk with you. Hey, Gavin. Dude, nice call, young man. Dude, give that guy a golden doodle and a Pop-Tart. Anyhow, on to bigger business. Hey, listen, Jim, What's Your Beef segment is really hot right now. We're really enjoying that because there's multiple ways to get in. But then Wells calls, and that's problematic because, you know, he's all over the place. And Wells, you made the same damn phone call 2 weeks in a row. Microwavable popcorn and butter? Jeez. Anyhow, rumor has it that Wells is developing his own butter. He sent a sample to the FDA for green light, and they wrote him a harshly worded letter that said, get off us. Anyhow, one...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
You know, I would ask, what the hell happened to Josh in Detroit? But I know. He moved to Texas and changed his name to Johnny. Dude, you are the new Josh in Detroit. That was so bad. So terrible. It borders on good. But not quite. Johnny in Texas. I got to get that taste out of my mouth as quickly as possible. Let's go to Eugene. Mike. Good to have you. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jim?
Good.
I'm an infrequent listener, but I wanted to weigh in on Gavin.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, Doogie Wowser, MC, Mad Clone, welcome to the jungle. I'm probably old enough to be Ritt's father, but...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like this.
Look, listen. Just so you know, I didn't come in here with nothing to talk about. I came in here at the same time I do every single morning. I came in here and did the same types of things that I do every single morning. I'm just trying on a Friday to get you all involved. I'm trying to roll telephone calls. I'm trying to do something a little bit different. That's what I'm trying to do. But you got to play with it. You got to give me a little bit of help here. He starts off by saying, I'm an infrequent caller, but I want to weigh in on Doogie Howser. And I might be old enough to be Ritt's dad. I think he spit out at one point. All right, then. And that was the guy that I skipped to the front of the line. You know what's amazing? I said first I made the point that Gavin is the last guy that I would have thought would be a hard act to follow. Now let me make a second point. That teenage kid is running circles and lapping all you boomers. That kid is getting over in a huge way. You want to talk about a jungle bounce back? This kid was getting murdered yesterday. Today he runs the jungle. I'm just banging telephone calls. You check that, old man? I'm an infrequent listener, and I'm old enough to be Ritt's dad. Two things that are sure to get you run. I'm an infrequent listener, and I'm old enough to be Ritt's dad. Welcome to the, and a third thing that'll get you run. Welcome to the jungle, Doogie Wowzer, which is what he just said.
Yeah, Doogie Wowzer, MC.
Man, my man Gavin's probably sitting back, cackling, rolling up a fatty, having a laugh at the expense of all the boomers. You get it, kid. Gavin. Let's go to San Diego. Great town. In fact, I got into it with Adrian Gonzalez. I asked him point blank. In fact, don't hang up. I'm going to get there in a minute. I got into this whole thing, and it actually goes back. When I was in Tampa for the Super Bowl, I was in the green room, and I saw a fellow CBSer, Amy Trask. Amy Trask is a brilliant person. Amy Trask ran the Raiders for years and years and years. Amy Trask is from L.A., but she went to UC Berkeley. Really, really smart. And she said something to me that she had said before. She said, Jim, you once said something on the radio that I heard, and I've quoted you ever since. I said, what is that, Amy? She said, the fact that we in Los Angeles don't really care about anybody, but everybody hates us so much more. I said, that's true, right? She said, absolutely, that's true. So I got into this with Adrian Gonzalez. I said, Adrian, you played for San Diego. You played for L.A. You tell me. Is it not a case of, if you were the Dodgers, you really don't give a damn about anybody, but people in San Diego hate LA's guts. People in San Francisco hate LA's guts. Hell, people everywhere hate LA's guts. Of course, you all move here and you stay here, but you all hate our guts. So I got into that with Adrian. I said, Adrian, you tell me, because you've spent time in both cities. When you go to San Diego, there's signs everywhere, America's finest city, America's finest city. Is it? Is it? You have to listen to the podcast to hear his response. That said, if it's not America's finest city, I can't think of a city that's better than San Diego. So I'm going there right now. Evan in San Diego. What's going on, Evan? How are you?
Pimping the box. I was born and raised here in San Diego, and I've been listening to you since I was in seventh grade. So sorry to age you a little bit there.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. But, it's all right.
I just wanted to thank you for giving Fernando and the Padres their due. You know, there's been so many bad takes here over the past week from these spoiled-ass Dodgers fans and people like Bob Nightingale, who's a freaking moron. You know, anybody who's criticizing this deal just doesn't watch this guy play every single day. You know, he does it the right way. He makes it exciting, and he makes it fun to watch. And the city is absolutely electric right now. And we just can't wait for opening day. So, War Tatis and Machado as the best left side of the infield for the next decade and of anybody in baseball. And War Peter Seidler, the owner San Diego deserves, instead of those lame-ass Spanoses who took that crappy football team up north. I'm out.
Nice job, Evan. Thank you. I don't know what's not to like about that deal. Like, if I wanted to, I could probably argue, you just gave a guy who has not even played the equivalent of a full season a 14-year contract for over $300 million. Is that something you want to do? To which I would respond, hell yes. Are you kidding? You need to see more? What more do you need to see from that kid? He's already one of the most electric players and electric personalities that you are ever going to see. I think that's a brilliant move by the Padres. They know what they have. They're not going to go Seattle Mariner on this. They're not going to keep this guy down to try to manipulate service time. They're not going to make this guy wait in order to get his money. They know what they have. A once-in-a-generational talent. A guy with Hall of Fame upside. Why would you mess with that? Why would you jerk with that? They're all in. I love that deal. I could not love that deal any more than I do, just like I couldn't love his response any more than I do, that he wants a statue contract. Like, literally, management comes and says, hey, Fernando, how do you want to do this? I mean, you're a guy. You're a cornerstone. How do you want to do this? You want a short deal? You want a long deal? And he says something to the effect of, how about we just do one deal? How about we do one deal that's going to get me to the end of my career or near it? And that deal ends with me getting a statue or three, and we stack championships. I love that deal. I honestly don't see any negative with that deal because of the guy in question. His ability, his charisma, his personality. I mean, this guy is not only one of the best things to happen in Major League Baseball, he's one of the best things in all of sports. And I don't know that I've ever seen another guy quite like him in Major League Baseball.
I want the satchel on one team. I want to be able to stay in one team and, you know, build my legacy over here in San Diego.
It was not that long ago that San Diego would never, ever, ever take a big swing at anything at all. We're a small market. We can't do that. Yeah, well, they are a small market, but they don't operate like one. And all of a sudden now they're going head-to-head with the Dodgers. I'm not saying that they're the team to beat right now. LA still is, but they've closed that gap, and they're coming fast. And now we have a legitimate rivalry for the first time in a long time between these two. I mean, imagine two cities separated by less than 2 hours on the freeway that hate each other's guts. It's perfect. And this is going to go on for a long time. I love that deal. I love that deal, and I love the way the Padres are building this thing out. You should be geek, San Diego. This is the best it's been in a long, long time. All right, when we come back, like I said, I'm doing it a little bit differently on a Friday. Just trying to bang telephone calls. A little Friday experiment. And then when that goes astray, I've got some things to talk about, including the conversation that Kevin Garnett had with Jimmy Kimmel. I loved it. Anytime KG shows up, that's good. But when KG shows up with a Mike story, that's even better. All of that is still ahead. Jim Trotter, top of hour number three. Albie's week that was. Also in hour number three. And Gavin's getting a lot of shine. All of that still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's going on? Welcome back. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Hey, Adam, pick those phone calls up. I know you're multitasking. Hawk is doing a lot of different things. All right, so let me change up on you really quickly. And as you can tell, I'm taking telephone calls, and I'm looking for more telephone calls. I'll keep doing it. In the meantime, something else to think about. Michael Jordan is a lot of things to a lot of people. He's a six-time champ. He's a six-time finals MVP. He's a 14-time All-Star. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And depending on who you ask, he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. All of this is true. And let me give you another fact right now. He's also an alleged world-class jerk, or was, or can be. I mean, that's not breaking news right there. That's not even just an opinion that I'm running out 20 years after the fact, after he last played in the NBA. There are grips upon grips of stories that back that up. Stories that Mike himself has not denied. Stories that Mike himself has actually confirmed. Let me give you a couple examples. How about when Mike's Bulls beat Larry Bird's Pacers in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals? Larry finds Mike after the game to congratulate him, and Mike reportedly hits him with, quote, "You bitch. F you. Take care. Now you can go work on that golf game of yours." End quote. I mean, that's an amazing exchange. In fact, there's nothing alleged or reported about that. That was caught on tape and aired in The Last Dance. Mike had just beaten Larry's Pacers. Larry, and it couldn't have been an easy thing to do, Larry seeks Mike out to congratulate him and pay his respects. And Mike hits him with, "Bleep you, bitch. Enjoy playing golf." To Larry Bird, no less. Who does that? Mike. That's who. Most people might say, "Hey, yeah, good game. Much respect. Good game, good series. Tough battle. You gave us all we could handle. Nice job. See you next year. All the best to the fam." Not Mike. Nope. Mike's more like, "Who won? You bitch. Bleep you. Go work on your golf game." Like, you're a bitch for not winning, and bleep you for even trying or thinking that you could win. The hell are you even doing talking to me anyway, B? Yeah, that's what I thought. Get the hell out of my face. So, when Kevin Garnett goes on Jimmy Kimmel's show last night and tells a story about being 19 and fresh out of high school playing Mike in Chicago, of course I'm going to believe anything that KG has to say about what that was like back then. I mean, there are a lot of urban myths surrounding the association and what may or may not have happened regarding a lot of different guys. But if somebody says something about Mike from back in the day, especially if that somebody's Kevin Garnett, I'm going to assume it's true. So, Jimmy Kimmel said to KG, "What do you got about Mike? What can you tell me about Mike? Give me a Mike story." And KG lays this out for him.
"I'm young. I'm 19 years old. I'm in the league. I'm fresh. I graduated out of high school in Chicago. So we come back, we play the Bulls. And I was playing great. Probably the best I've ever played in my life at this point, right? And it's against the Bulls, and J.R. Ryder is having an unbelievable game, too. And I'm just feeling 19. I'm like, yeah, keep going. Killing him. Ooh. And in the short form of it, Jimmy, I woke up a sleeping dog, you know, and it wasn't pleasant. Yeah. That big dog named Michael Jordan. Yeah. And he bit. He bites, and he bit hard, and it turned really bad. And it turned bad quick, Jimmy. J.R. told me just to calm down. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm having a good game, but chill. You know, he right here. He can hear you. Okay, so keep going.
All right, so I've heard a lot of Jordan stories that are very similar to that one. Somebody starts feeling themselves, and they start running some junk. Jordan hears it and makes them eat every last word, makes them pay. Gary Payton, my guy the glove, was a famous victim of the exact same thing too. But here's where it gets peak Mike. Check this next clip out, because even though Mike punished KG 25 years ago on the court, he still goes out of his way to remind him of that time every time he sees him.
Well, I like to think that it's definitely burnt into my brain. But wherever I see Jordan, he always does the same thing every time. He palms my head and he says, you remember I gave you 40 and three quarters? And I was like, man, go ahead. And then he has like this sidekick of people around him. He's like, hey, pull that up. And then the guy goes and pulls it up. And I'm like, what the? Who walks around with them? This is really Jordan Brand. Who walks around with content? Like teed up? Like what? It was an experience in which I quit talking trash to Michael.
Michael has a guy who walks around with highlights packages. That is
already teed up, Jimmy.
That's an amazing story. KG says, who walks around with content? Jordan is walking around with an entourage who have his highlights queued up to show his victims. Like Garrett Ritt ignoring his job yesterday to scour Twitter and cherry pick the one nice tweet about him just to put in front of me to read on the air. Can't believe this is how Mike rolls. But I can. It's Mike. It's the most Mike thing ever. Of course this guy walks around with people whose only job is to be his own version of on-demand SportsCenter. Except it's not SportsCenter. It's Mike Center. But it's not even Mike. Making some lackey show Kevin Garnett the tape from 25 years ago, man. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. I love that part of the story where KG says whenever he sees Mike, not only does he remind him of that time that he dropped 40 on him in three quarters, but he palms the ticket's bald head.
But wherever I see Jordan, he always does the same thing every time. He palms my head and he says, you remember I gave you 40 and three quarters?
What is the most disrespectful thing about that? The fact that he's got somebody whose job is to have the video at the ready so we can talk more junk about something that happened a quarter of a century ago? Or the fact that he's palming Kevin Garnett's head? And remember, Mike is about a half a foot shorter than Kevin. He's got to reach up to disrespect him that way. I mean, another reason to go, right? If somebody lays a hand on you, if somebody physically touches you, he's not only physically touching KG, he's putting a palm on his bald head. If that's not a reason to go, what is? You know what that is, aside from being really disrespectful? It's the ultimate older brother move. You know, palming somebody else's bald dome. Brother. Like, Mike is just going to stick his tongue out, take off from the free throw line, and dunk KG's melon through the rim. And you know Mike would try it. But I'm not surprised by any of this. I mean, The Last Dance essentially was 10 episodes of Mike pulling up YouTube and showing the world his highlights. In fact, last week, I had Kenny Anderson on my podcast. I asked him how accurate he thought that entire docuseries was.
That's Mike, you know, playing against him and knowing how he was in life. That's just how he rolled. That's just what he did. You know, he controlled his documentary somewhat. Some of the players were mad at it. Some wasn't. Some were. And, you know, it's just tough. But you're talking about one of the best, if not the best player that ever played the game. And he won six championships with the Bulls. So, you know, he could say whatever you want to say somewhat. But you don't know what's true and not true.
Well said, Kenny. It is Mike. I mean, we may not know what's true and what's not, but Mike can pretty much say and do whatever the hell he wants. He can call Larry Bird a bitch. He can palm Kevin Garnett's bald head while making him watch highlights from like 40 years ago that some crony had already locked and loaded on the off chance they ran into KG. Who's going to stop him? I'm sure Mike's got a whole list of his greatest hits on the ready, in the phone, so he can remind everybody of how he did them back in the day. Including KG. especially KG. Guarantee if he were to happen to run into Larry, he'd have lots of highlights queued up for Larry. And Mike hasn't changed either. We all mellow out, right? None of us are the way we used to be. Mike hasn't mellowed at all. We saw that docuseries. All right, when we come back, what do you got? 1-800-636-8686. All right, so the great thing about this show, is you never know who might call. And I've done this long enough that I've got long-standing relationships with a number of people, including this guy. And I'm not really sure why he's hitting me up on the call-in line when he could very easily get the hotline, but what the hell? I'll take it. Hawk says that Luke Walton is calling the program. And because we have a relationship with him, that does not surprise me. What the hell? Let's find out. Hey, Luke, what's going on?
Hey, Jim, how you doing? Luke Walton here.
What's up, Coach? How you feeling? What's going on?
Well, I can't be too happy about last night's game. You know, we got a lot of work to do. It's been a tough year. Everybody's probably saying the same thing. Not enough off-season time, but just a difficult time. But, you know, basketball, life, whatever.
Hey, Luke, why did you get after that clipboard with the aggression and hostility that you displayed last night? What were you thinking in that moment?
You know, sometimes a guy loses his cool. It's been a little tough dealing with the players, especially the young ones this year. Don't get a lot of response, and I'm just having a little bit of trouble.
Hey, Luke, really quickly, what's your middle name?
Pearl.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's not a good call. No. No, it's not.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
As fake callers go, that one was pretty good. He had Luke's Darth Vader voice down pretty well. Fooled me. I mean, I really thought that I was talking to Luke Walton there for a minute until he got his own middle name wrong. All right, when we return, one of those days. Man, I should have known it when I rolled out this morning and I tried to hit my neighborhood Starbucks in the 5 o'clock hour and it was not open. I knew it was going to be one of those days, but I had a hard pivot, got through it, found another one. All right, let's take a short time out. Still ahead, Jim Trotter, a reporter and storyteller for NFL Media. 1-800-636-8686. Do not pretend to be somebody you're not, man. Just give me your name, give me your town, give me your take. I'll get you on the air. It can work. Do not pretend to be Luke Walton. I don't need the next fake Stan Van Gundy calling me up next. Or a fake Frank Vogel. Let's get you a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
March Madness right around the corner, and this weekend CBS has two full days of college hoops. Triple headers. The action gets underway Saturday at 12 noon Eastern. You got a battle in the Big 12 between Texas and Texas Tech. Sunday, three more games, capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten tilt. Iowa going up against Ohio State. So a couple of college basketball triple headers Saturday and Sunday. It gets underway at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific, talking about the road to the Final Four. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, that's it. Stucknut tweets, fake Luke Walton was obviously Gavin. Obviously not. At Apple Pasta, dear Jim, it was so obvious that that was not Luke Walton. Signed, Joe Flacco. Yeah, Joe Flacco allegedly called the show once, too.
Hey, let me ask you something. Who do you guys have this weekend?
I think we play the Steelers.
You think.
That's not who you have this weekend.
You don't know who you play this weekend. If you're going to pretend to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, if anything, at least know who you're playing that weekend. At least know that much if you're going to try and sell it. Hey. Jim Trotter coming up at the top of the hour. Alvy's week that was. Next hour, I want to talk more about the Seattle Seahawks and Russ Wilson. Listen, this guy's not going anywhere right now. They're not taking a $40 million cap hit to get rid of Russell Wilson because he's not happy. So they're not moving him now. Now, that's not to say that he won't end up someplace else ultimately, but not this offseason. And that list of teams is really kind of weird, right? Like, I'm not asking for a trade, but if I were, here's where I want to go. And on that list is Chicago and Vegas and New Orleans and Dallas. New Orleans, I understand. What the hell would a quarterback want to go to Chicago for? That's where quarterbacks go to die. Especially when you consider who's coaching and who's putting that team together. Let's go to the phones. Savannah. Mark in Savannah. Good to have you, Mark. How are you?
Good, Jim. How are you, sir?
Good, dude. Good.
I just want to say thank you for all the years of great content. I've only been listening about 7 or 8 years, but I wanted to share my earliest memory and also give the listeners 3 tips on how to call in. Number one, my earliest memory, I turned on the radio. The first thing I hear you say is Bofason Stewart, and I was baffled but intrigued. So I listened more, and then finally once I got the hang of it, I've never stopped listening. And number two, tips to callers. Number one, be passionate. Know what you're talking about and give a crap about it. Number two, don't read. And number three, the most important is rehearse it. Be ready, get your cadence, get your head right. Just want to put that out there and tell you thank you for all you do.
Appreciate you. Mark Rackham. So he resets. That's the whole thing about this show. And I used to say back in the day, give it 2 weeks. I guarantee you're not going to like this show when you first hear the show. And especially back in the day, give it 2 weeks. Because back then, and I don't have to say that anymore, but back then this show was unlike any other show. And I was coming at it from a different place. And there was that love-hate thing. People either really, really liked it and really, really understood it, or people wanted to fight me. So I'd always say, give it 2 weeks. It's an acquired taste. Give it 2 weeks. If after 2 weeks you can say to me, you know what? I gave it 2 weeks. I heard you. I heard how you conduct yourself. I heard how you conduct your show. I heard how you do interviews. And you know what, Rome? You still suck. And so does your show. To which I would say, you know what? Maybe you're not that bright. Give it 2 more weeks. You imagine dropping out of the sky or finding this program back in the day and hearing me talk about, quote, Bofason Stewart. Yeah, I can see where you might have a little trouble with that. Jason Stewart. Bofason Stewart.
Cinnabon in my face. Fries all over the place.
That guy.
Domino showed up too.
He said, I got 3 tips. Know what you want to talk about. Don't read it. And rehearse it. And then you'll be fine. It's not bad advice, actually. Mark in Savannah with his earliest memory of the show. My man, I would say that you are the epitome of those who can't do, still try to teach, but you pulled that off. You did fine. I'm telling you, 1-800-636-8686. On top of that, well, you want to talk about a blast from the past. Willie in KC. There's a blast from the past. Hey, Alvin, do you have any, before I go to this guy, assuming that it's actually the guy, do you have any archive sound of Willie in KC? Willie, of course, famously said, hey, John, it's time to go see Mr. Rome. Giddy up, horse
hey,
face.
John, time to meet Mr. Rome. Giddy up, horse face. Come on.
This guy. It's fine. Not only that, William KC back in the day was the first one to bust out with Cablin Asian, the friendly ghost.
Cablin Asian, the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Skin horribly bright, pasty white. Cablin Asian, the friendly ghost.
So long before people were dropping parodies and singing on the show, Willie actually got there first. Let's go to KC. Willie, what's up with you?
Willie, thank you, Jim, for taking the call. Thank you, as always, for the vine. Very impressed as a fellow Fib of young Davin from Illinois. Here to say, if allowed to compete again in the Smack-Off, I am fully prepared. All of my winnings, not when I win the next Smack-Off clones, but the next and the next and the next, I'm calling my four-peat. If allowed to play in the game and every single part of those winnings, you, young Davin, you can use it towards
Here's tip number four. Get a better phone, even if you're a legend. All right, so William Casey went legend numerous times. and then one day said something regrettable and got banned. But he's done his time. He's paid his debt to the Jungle Society. I let him back in. I want to say he's been rehabilitated, but I'm not really sure because the phone quality was so crappy. Hey, Willie, you might get to a smack-off. You might win the smack-off, but not on that phone you won't. It still matters. The actual audio matters because it's still a radio program. So add that to your list. Know what you want to talk about. Have passion. Don't read it. And have a better phone. Willie and KC, man, everybody's coming out of the woodwork now. Really quickly, so I mentioned episode 164 of the Jim Rome Podcast. It went live on Wednesday, like it does every single Wednesday. This week, my guest is one of the good guys in all of sports, a 15-year big leaguer, 5-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glover, Adrian Gonzalez. Now, AG, as you know, played a decade and a half in the show. He made stops in Texas, Boston, Queens, but he will be forever remembered for having his best years here in Southern California. With the Dodgers in L.A. and with the Padres in San Diego. So who better to talk about the bully that San Diego is building right now to challenge L.A. than a guy who played for both of those franchises and still lives in the area?
I can't wait. The Padres are forming a great team to compete with the Dodgers. You know, they're doing everything in their ability to bring in players that have proven to do well against the Dodgers, and they're keeping their young kids. You know, we saw the Tatis deal. That's amazing for them to see. It's amazing for an organization to, you know, that used to call themselves a small market, go out and do the things that they've been doing lately. Started with Hosmer and then into Machado and now into Tatis. I mean, it's unfathomable seeing what they're doing, and it's great to have, you know, that ownership that's willing to put it all on the line for a title to San Diego that it greatly deserves.
Well said, and I agree with him. So Agon is like the rest of us, absolutely hyped on that rivalry, and it feels like for the first time in forever, the Yankees-Red Sox, for instance, is not the biggest rivalry or showdown in baseball, nor is it the Cubs-Cards, nor is it the Dodgers-Giants. It's the freaking swinging Friars and the boys in blue. About time that America's finest city showed up for that fight. And they're here for it. And it does start with Fernando Tatis Jr., who Adrian is fired up to see in a Padres gamer for the next 14 years.
I mean, he is such an incredible talent. I mean, you know, comes from the pedigree, has all the tools, has the flair. You know, he's definitely a guy that you want to build a franchise around. He both brings excitement on and off the field. He makes the fans enjoy it. You know, he has that ability to have that full package, and you know, that's San Diego's lucky to have him for the next 14 years.
All right, so this guy is so good for the sport of baseball, but what about the sport of baseball? Like, Adrian's hyped on that. He's hyped on the rivalry and the battle in the NL West, but what about the game overall? He did admit to me in this podcast that watching the game today is not an easy thing to do.
The game is not that much fun to watch. I mean, it's great to see the players. It's great to see the talent. It's great to see, you know, even in the playoffs, you saw Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts make some incredible plays in the outfield. But when you're watching an offense, it's, you know, I don't know if it's the shifting. I don't know if it's the hitter's mentality, but the hitters have one thing in mind. The pitchers have one thing in mind, and neutral result is the walk, right? And so when I came into the league, I remember there was bunting, hitting runs, moving a guy over. I remember coming in from the dugouts and getting handshakes for hitting a ground ball to second base, getting a guy over to third base so my teammate could come in and get him in. And you don't see that anymore. It's not part of what ownership or front offices want. They don't believe in giving away outs. They don't believe in giving yourself up for the run to score. So when you groom the young kids to think away from that, it changes their mentality, and they don't know how to do it that way. But when I came in, that's all that mattered. And I always use the example of one of my favorite teammates and favorite players is David Eckstein. You know, he was the epitome of what league was about when I came into the league. And now, you know, they would look the other way. They wouldn't look at him.
All right, so he had more to say about David Eckstein that I want to reset next hour if I can get back to it. But his point, in effect, is David Eckstein was one of his favorite teammates of all time. David Eckstein was a World Series MVP. That good of a ball player, that much of a catalyst. And what Adrian Gonzalez is saying is a guy like that would not even get a look today. There's no place in baseball for a former World Series MVP. That's how much the game has changed. And that, again, he loves the game. He's not going all boomer on anybody saying, yeah, back when I did it, because he did it as recently as 2018. We're not talking about a guy who played in the 50s. He played last in 2018. That's how much the game has changed. And to hear him tell it, you pretty much have just three scenarios always in Major League Baseball right now: the bomb, the strikeout, or the walk. Yeah, the game is very different now. When we come back, Jim Trotter joins me. And then we are open the rest of the way on this Friday. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Jim Trotter's next. Your phone call is on the other side of that. Stay tuned.